Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. Stop there. That's a picture that is very true, that we don't like to think about, but that Satan stands in opposition to us. He opposes God and he opposes us. And even in the book of Revelation, it says that our adversary, the devil, walks about. We know our adversary walks about like a roaring lion, but it says that he accuses us to God day and night. He's the accuser of the brethren, who stands before God day and night and accuses us. Isn't that weird? The devil accuses us, but we have a mediator. So I want to take this passage here and show you Old Testament, how it was viewed, which was a foretelling of some truth that we live in today, changes everything. Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him, and the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan." The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. And then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "See, I've removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with robes, rich robes. And let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. And then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua and said, "If you'll walk in my ways and if you'll keep my command, you'll also judge my house and likewise have charge of my courts, and I'll give you places to walk among those who stand here." Stop there. Then he goes on and gives a promise about the second coming of Christ to Israel. But I wanted you to see this picture that the devil, Satan himself, stands to accuse the righteous. But then the Lord rebuked the devil. And so you need to realize that you have help. You're not alone. It's not you versus Satan. It's not you versus Satan. It's you and God, and then he can take care of Satan. Now, there is a part you play, but I want you to realize that you don't have to wrestle around with the devil all the time. First step is to see that he does accuse you. He does want you to feel guilty about stuff. He does want God to see that you've done something wrong. However, because of Christ, God doesn't. Because of Christ, God doesn't see. Because of Christ, God accepts you even though. 1 John 2 says that if any man sin, you need to know that you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That word advocate means attorney, basically. If you sin, you have an advocate, you have an attorney. Somebody quit breathing so hard out there. I can tell somebody breathing hard. It's not that exciting yet. Just wait. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ is our attorney. As soon as the devil says, "Hey, look what so-and-so did," Jesus says, "The Lord rebuke you." You got it? As soon as the devil accuses you, Jesus stiff arms him. It's like, Jesus stiff arms him. Bring me the other mic. I'll just end that right here. Praise the Lord. Second, you see here, after the Lord rebukes him, he says, "The Lord has chosen Jerusalem." Well, in effect, he's chosen you. Jesus said, "I have chosen you." You've been chosen too. A firebrand plucked out of the fire. You've been chosen. Every one of you that's saved, you've been chosen to do something for God. You've been chosen to lead. You've been chosen to shine bright in this earth. So there's purpose for you. But you don't just get to go from getting accused into your purpose. You got to get cleaned. Notice he cleaned his filthiness. He put new clothes on him. There's a whole trend in the Bible talks about the robe of righteousness, gowns of salvation. There's clothing that's a picture of your righteousness. Even in the book of Revelation, some of the martyrs received white robes. And then we see that Jesus was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And so a robe was a signifier of righteousness and acts of righteousness. And so you and I are going to have robes in heaven. Praise the Lord. I don't know how skimpy your robe will be. Mine's going to be a full-blown robe. And they say that, you know, that Jesus' train filled the temple. Remember that from the scriptures? Well, the train was the robe, the long, long, long kingly robe that kings wore. They would follow them for like 15, 20 yards through the building. So you're going to have some sort of a robe. I don't know if it's going to be a mini robe or a full-blown robe, but you and I need to make sure that we stay clean with God. So I want to talk about that a little bit so that we can recognize what this life with God is all about. It's not just about getting your needs met. It's not just about having a decent life today. It's not about just having some more comfort in America. It's something else. It's a life with God. And if you have a life with God, guess what? You can rebuke the devil and he'll flee from you. All of a sudden, James 4:7 and 1 Peter 5:8 start coming to pass for you, where you resist the devil and he'll flee. Where you kick him in the teeth. Isn't that a scripture? Kick him in the teeth and he will fall. No, it's not a scripture, but it's a good image. Kick the devil in the teeth. If you're close to God, if you walk with God, you have authority over the devil. So you don't have to just wait for God to rebuke the devil. You just rebuke the devil yourself. You can just rebuke the devil yourself. And that word rebuke means to basically stop it. Stop it. Halt. Shut up. Out. Nuh-uh. No more. Get. Get. That's a good one. Like that story Brother Wigglesworth told. He was at the street corner, and this lady, this little dog was following this lady. And she's like, go on back home. That little puppy wouldn't go home. Go on back home. Finally, she said, get. And he took off, ran back home. That's how you need to treat the devil. Don't be playing with the devil. Don't be praying about the devil. Don't be toying with the devil. Tell him, get out of here. And you do it with some authority. I've said many times that, you know, if you'll get some strength in your heart against Satan, against sin, against temptation, against sickness and disease, against poverty, against depression, against anger, get some faith and fire against the devil. And then execute it. Treat him like, treat any of these issues. I mean, you got to get fed up. Treat any of these issues like a dirty, mangy dog came into the house. Like, mean, not in a sweet one. Dirty, mangy, mean dog came into the house. Mud's getting everywhere, chasing the kids around, chasing your other pets around. What would you do? Would you get on the phone? I need y'all to pray. Pray, I got a little problem here at the house. Now, what would you do? You'd get a stick or a broom and you start chasing that dude. And you start hollering at that dude, and you start swatting at that dude until what? Until that dude left. Like it's all out assault on this little mangy, muddy dog that has snuck into my residence. Well, that's how you need to treat the devil. You can't be sitting there going, well, you know I got some problems. Dude, fix the problem. Could you please fix the problem? Could you please exercise some authority over the devil? Jesus said, in my name, you will cast out demons. In my name, you have authority over all the power of the mangy dog, and nothing shall by any means hurt your home, but you do have to execute. You do have to execute. You do have to say something. You do have to put some authority. You have to put your foot down. Got to get your broom out. Praise the Lord. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read this passage. It's kind of a good picture of where you used to be, where you're at today, where God is today. It's what it's all about. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. You has he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. He's cleaned your filthy rags. He's cleaned your filthy garments. He's put on some clean ones for you. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. Sure gets quiet when you talk about that. Well, there's nothing to shout about because that's who you used to be. You were children of wrath. You just followed the lust of the flesh. If you were raised in church, this is your warning not to ever go that direction. But many of you were not raised in church this way. And so you know that you came out of this type of lifestyle where you were governed and moved solely by your flesh. Your emotions and your flesh ruled your life. And it led you and drove you to the dirt of the world. Well, that's where you got so dirty. That's where your clothes got so dirty. Now you need to get cleaned. But that's who we were. If you're saved, that's who you were. Go ahead and say that out loud. Say, that's who I used to be. I am not that anymore. That's who I used to be. All right, now you may be dealing with some of those weird things these days as well, but if you believe in Jesus, your belief in this scripture can put you over. Your belief in this scripture can actually get you out of the grip of Satan. So say it this way. Say this out loud. Say, devil, that's who I used to be. I'm not that anymore. Get. This is how you solve some of your emotional crisis. It's how you solve some of your personality defects. It's how you solve temptation. You're going to have to say it with authority. And you're probably going to have to do it more than once. Some of you probably just got free right there, don't even realize it. Other of you might have to do it 10 more times at home. And if you don't, you'll stay bound. Come on, if you just take one step of faith in a real way, the Lord will step in there and say, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. It's not you really that's doing the power against the devil. It's God honoring what you say. He just flick his little finger at the devil and the devil goes. But you have to do the resisting first. It's a spiritual law. If you'll do the resisting, the devil has to do the fleeing. So you used to be like the children of wrath, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Everybody go like this, just kind of wiggle in your chair. Say, close your eyes, say, I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly places. God put me with Christ in the heavenly places. Come on, God put you in Christ in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might, dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He put you in Christ. You're seated with Christ. You're over the devil. Even if you're afoot, you're still over the devil. Even if you're the pinky toenail, you're still over the devil. Hallelujah. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 verse 1. Isaiah 1 says, though your sins are like scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they'll be as wool. Your sins are washed, you're clean, you're white. Just pretend like it. Go ahead and take it by faith and say, that's me. I'm clean, clean, clean. Say, I'm white, 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 clean, 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 like wool, wool, wool. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Colossians 3, verse 1, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. See, you've already been raised with Christ. Now, you've got some instruction here. Seek those things up high, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Verse 2 is your problem. You got your mind too focused on all the earth problems. Mind is too focused on all the earth stuff. You got to do that with one eye open. Sure, you got to go to work, got to take care of the family, got to do all sorts of natural things, but you can't be solely focused on them. This is where people get depressed and anxious. You're too focused on the natural. You forgot God. You forgot to be close to Jesus. I remember a preacher told that a story about an old dad. I think it was John Wesley. He said, no, it was Charles Finney. He said he noticed this weakening trend in church. Nobody ever got their prayers answered. But he remembered hearing the pastor say this one time, or the Bible school teacher, whatever it was. He said, you know what y'all's problem is? Because everybody's just praying about all their weaknesses. Oh, God, you know, I just feel so frail. Oh, just let me hang on until Jesus comes type praying. And he stood up and he said, you know what your problem is? You just got too far from Jesus. When you start feeling weak and dead and hopeless and frail and just depressed, really, here's the problem. You got too far from Jesus. Okay? Now, I don't want to put you down too hard about it. I don't want to put you down. I don't want you to feel condemned about it, but I do want you to recognize what the problem is. The problem is not the news. It's not America. The problem is not business. It's not economy. It's not your family. It's not your spouse. It's not your grandma. It's not your kids. It's not your lack of kids. It's not your lack of a spouse. That's not the problem. Problem is you just got too far from Jesus. If you'll draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. You'll feel big once again, then you can whip the devil, tell him to get out of your room. You're not falling for his lies. You're not going to be depressed. You're not going to be anxious. You're not going to fall for that garbage because you're close to Jesus. So the real problem is you just got too far from Jesus. Oh, no, the real problem is that I got a blah, blah, this, and blah, blah, that, and blah, blah, blah. No, the real problem is you just forgot to stay close to Jesus. Because he's everything, and he's wonderful, and he's perfect, and he's good. And if you're in him, you'll feel it. If you're close to him, you'll know it. It'll change everything. You'll be nice today. Is everybody in here nice? I mean strong, but nice. Is everybody gentle and nice? Is everybody bearing the fruits of the Spirit? Patient, long-suffering, kind, good. Come on, if I was preaching about the gifts of the Spirit, you'd be like, yeah, word of faith and word of wisdom and faith and miracles, yes. What about the fruits of the Spirit? Come on, if you're not bearing the fruits of the Spirit, you just got unplugged from the tree. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. It's impossible to bear fruit if you're not abiding in him. If you're disconnected from him, you'll be mean. Front row, I'm looking at you. Oh, I was looking at that side of the front row. Let me find the good scripture to look over here at my wife. All right, verse 2 again. Colossians 3, 2. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, I read it very fast, but that's really a camp scripture. You died and your life is hid with Christ in God. You're supposed to have died with Christ. You're supposed to have allowed your selfish life to die with him so that it's not about you anymore. So you gave up your life to have his life and you died with him. And if you died with him and you've relinquished your self-will as it pertains to your life and your future and your will, your desires, and you've given it all to him so that he can give you true desires, then you're hidden. Your life is hidden with Christ. My life is hidden with Christ. If you say something wrong or mad or mean against me, you can't even find me to say it. I'm hidden. I'm hidden in Christ. Your opinion can't harm me because you can't even find me. I'm totally hidden. The devil can't even find me. I'm hidden in Christ. The devil comes looking with some sort of calamity to bring me because, you know, whatever. He can't even find me. He can't even find me. Hallelujah. Come on, you stay with the Lord. You stay close to God. You relinquish your self-will. You live for the will of God. You live in the rest of your time in the earth for the will of God instead of for self. You recognize eternal things. You set your affection on things above. Devil can't even find you. The story we've told about T.L. Osborne, great missionary evangelist to the United States, and then he moved off and went around the world preaching the gospel, won millions to the first one to win millions at a time to the Lord. 500,000 at a time, then 1 million at a time. And so he paved the way for all these young missionary evangelists to go over and hold huge crusades. So great, if you ever want to study him, T.L. Osborne, great, great pioneer of faith for the modern day church. But he said this, he had a vision one day, he looked out his window and he saw two demons walking down his neighborhood sidewalk. And he saw them coming and they would walk and they would come up somebody's sidewalk, go into their house, spend a little time there and come back out. Then they would come down the sidewalk and go up the next house sidewalk, go into the house, spend a little time, come back out. And then he saw them approaching his house, and they were approaching his house, and they just kept walking down the sidewalk, didn't even turn up. How? They couldn't find him. You stay with the Lord, you stay close to him, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who's our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, or unholy desire, and covetousness, or greed, which is idolatry. You got to put to death even covetousness, greed, which he says is idolatry. I know you don't have a false God in your house that you fall down and worship, except that one called money. So covetousness and greed and money is the idol people worship today. In modern day, it's even worse than it used to be, but it does kill people's spiritual life. So you have to check yourself and recognize, why am I trying to go to work? You should be going to work to do something good with your hands. You should be going to work to do something good for somebody. Why am I starting a business? If it's to get rich, you've fallen right into this trap. But if you're starting a business to produce something good and provide a good service or a good for somebody else, now you've got a right motive. This is about where it goes real silent. I'm going to move on to verse 6. This is food for thought, man. These are life-changing things. Very simple message today. You're going to have to find the rock to kick over and let God speak to your life. Verse 6, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. So either you're going to be a son of God or a son of disobedience. If you have Christ in you, you're a son of God. But you don't want to have any of these traits either. Verse 7, in which you yourselves once walked in when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Remember the filthy clothing, filthy garments? Filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Praise the Lord. You see in the picture here? There's an element that you got to take off your old dirty clothes and put on some new clothes. Go to John 13. We'll see the way Jesus said it here. He's forgiven you. He's made your wool white. I don't care what color your skin is. Your wool is now white. John chapter 13, verse 16. Verse 10. Now this is the passage where Jesus was going to wash his disciples' feet. Do you recall that? Notice what he said. Verse 4, Jesus rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin. This is verse 5. And began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded with. And he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, you're washing my feet. And Jesus answered and said to him, what am I doing? What I am doing you don't understand now, but you will know after this. So obviously it was something more than just foot washing. Peter said to him, you've never washed my feet. You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, he says, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, you're not all clean. Stop there and look up here. So this is the famous foot washing that people have turned into a ceremony. You got to be careful about taking a spiritual thing and making it a natural ceremony that really has no connotation. Jesus was not saying, y'all need to bathe each other's feet when you come over. Now, that was a practice they did in the old day because the streets were dusty, the feet were dirty. It was a sign of honor and welcome if they had a basin of water and washed your feet for you. That was an honor. But we don't have that problem today. Some of you might benefit from washing your feet extra, but we don't have that issue. In no way was Jesus commanding Christians to wash one another's feet. He wasn't even using this principle or this story. He wasn't even using this to say, serve one another. That is not what you take from this. Because he's got all this other stuff about if you're clean, you don't need to get clean again. There's other connotation here. If Jesus was saying we're supposed to serve one another all the time, and this was the only time he washed his disciples' feet, that would be kind of hypocritical. If it was all about the leader serving all the people in this way, Jesus would have been washing his disciples' feet the whole time. Wasn't talking about serving, even though you're supposed to serve one another, and leaders are supposed to serve one another. That's not how you apply this passage. So here at Houston Faith Church, you can be rest assured, we will never, ever, 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 ever have a foot washing service. Ever. We won't. There's no need to do that. That's a false tradition. It means nothing. It does nothing. It's cute. And people have said, oh, but it was touching. Yeah. Tickling. No, listen. This passage is very important to understand something about the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? What's he saying here? He's saying, you're not going to understand what I'm doing, but you will later. And then he said, you're going to have to wash each other's feet. Well, when he's washing Peter's feet, Peter says, wash everything. Like, okay, let me go over the top here. Wash me clean. And Jesus is saying, look, you're already washed. I don't have to rewash you. All he's talking about is salvation and forgiveness. He's saying, Peter, you're already saved. You don't have to get resaved. But because you walk in the world, you're going to stumble. You're going to get dirt on you, and you need to wash your feet. All that means is, as a Christian, you don't have to get resaved every church service. You don't have to completely, totally repent from all of your, you know, dirt and all your filth and all your darkness every single day, every single week, every single year. No, just get your feet washed. You get saved, you turn your life to the Lord, and then you realize, man, I still get dirty out there. I still stumble. I still sin some. Well, just get your feet clean. Just admit your sin to God, and he'll forgive you your sin. And so Jesus forgives all of your sins. Quote, he washes all your feet. He always washes all your feet. Meaning he forgives all your sins. And then he says you need to forgive each other's. You need to be washing each other's feet, meaning forgiving each other's sins. Isn't that exciting? This is just a forgiveness passage. It's not a serve passage. You need to understand that. So the bottom line is this. You're clean. And if you're clean, I don't got to rewash you. God's saying, I don't have to resave you. I don't have to take you all the way to square one. So don't act like it. He's already cleaned you. He's already set you on high. He's already put you in heaven with Jesus. He's already seated you with him. He's already hid your life with Christ in God. If your feet get dirty, just get forgiven. So if you've been bad, if you've been a bad Christian lately, get clean today. If you've blown it lately, just get clean today. If you've gotten dirty, if your clothes are not so white right now, get clean today. If you got dirt in your wool, come on, just get clean today. Just trust that God's going to clean you today and replace your filthy rags, your filthy clothing with new white robes. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, you'll feel strength again. And this is going to connect to last week. We talked about conscience. If God's going to give you a good life, if he's going to be able to help you in this life, if you want a good life, you're going to have to be guided by your conscience. And when your conscience gets a little dirty, you're going to have some great faith that he'll clean you. Do you have great faith he'll clean you? No matter how long it's been, no matter how bad it's been, all you need is a little foot washing. All you need to get the hose and just done. Matter of fact, do it yourself. Grab your hose, whatever kind of end you got on a little nozzle, and just now look back down and say, I got beautiful feet once again. Praise the Lord. Jesus said it this way. He said in John 15, he said, you're already clean through the word that I've spoken. You're already clean through the word that he's spoken to you. If you've received Christ, your whole body's clean. And if you're listening to his word, if you're admitting when you blow it, man, he's sanctified you. He's cleaned you. He's sparkled you up, shined you up a bit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 10, final scripture. Hebrews chapter 10. Remember, part of this is that Joshua, and that's not Joshua from Moses, the book of Joshua, that's a different Joshua the priest. God cleaned him, and then God told him, you're going to lead. I got you. I'm setting you up in a place where you're going to be a priest to me. You're going to bless. You're going to take care of. You're going to lead the nation. You're going to help. And that's where you and I are. Jesus chose us. He said, I don't call you servants. I call you friends so that you can know what I'm doing. A friend tells his friends what he's going to be doing. And then Jesus said that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Hallelujah. And then he goes on and connects it to you. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So you getting your prayers answered is connected to you bearing fruit. It's connected to you being close to Jesus. It's connecting to you staying clean. It's connected to the Lord rebuking the devil for your sake so that you can be totally free from Satan so you can bear the fruit. So you, Mr. and Miss Christian, have purpose in this life. And your purpose is bigger than you just getting a bigger bank account. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter by the blood of Jesus, enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's signifying once again, your lifestyle has changed. Has your lifestyle changed? Yes. Has your habits changed? Yes. Has your obedience improved? Yes. Have you cut out your old members? Have you stopped doing? Have you started doing? Amen? Things are supposed to change. Come close to God. Get your with a clean conscience. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. How many of you need to be stirred up to do something good? Raise your hand. Okay, everybody just raise your hand by default. Every one of you need to be stirred up. You need a friend that will stir you up. You need somebody that will call you and say, let's go to the park and win souls. Are you the one that stirs everybody up, brother? Paul's always stirring everybody up. Hey, let's go. It's Saturday. What else are we going to do? You need somebody stirring you up to go to church, stirring you up to read the Bible, stirring you up to go to the prayer meeting, stirring you up to come to the church event, stirring you up to be nice to somebody, stirring you up to be good at home. You need somebody stirring you up. That's one reason why you come to church, is so you can stir each other up. I get to take longer stirring you up But every one of you can stir each other up. And if you're not doing anything good, and if you're not loving people enough, and if you're too isolated and still in a life of seclusion, then you need to find a friend that's not. Look to your right and left right now. Look to your right and left. Say, are you going to stir me up, or am I going to stir you up? Are you going to slap me, or am I going to slap you? Now, be nice about it. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, we're trying to stir each other up to not forsake this assembly. You need to assemble with some Christians all the time, more and more and more and more. Is Jesus coming soon? The day's approaching, got to go to church more. That was a feeble yes. That last yes was a feeble one. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, we're in this together. It's a good life. That's what we're doing here at Houston Faith Church. We're stirring each other up so that we can accomplish the plan of God, the will of God, make sure our treasure in heaven is secure. This is a big deal because eternity is a long, 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 long time. And so we got to be doing stuff now that matters for eternity. And so we have to keep reminding ourselves that souls matter. That your unsaved friends and acquaintances and strangers you meet, those people matter. Those people matter. If you want to be rejoicing in heaven a lot, you're going to have to lead a few there. You're going to have to get a few people saved so that you have something to rejoice about up there. Praise the Lord. Now, if you'll get a right mindset, listen, if you'll get a right mindset about this life, if you'll set your affection on things above and do it right, I'm not talking about being weird. People say, well, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. No, if you get properly heavenly minded, you'll be extremely good here. If you'll get a right mindset, then I'm telling you, the devil will actually start fleeing from you. You'll find power. First of all, you'll recognize the devil. Like if you're dirty, how could you recognize another piece of dirt? You ever done that before? You're out working and you're all dirty and you're like, well, I'm already dirty, so. But if you're clean, you're like, I don't know if I want to start getting dirty because I'm so clean. Stay clean, you'll recognize the devil. And then you can resist the devil. You'll have power over the devil. And then when you need to get healed from sickness, it won't be so hard. And when you need to pray for a family member to get healed, it won't be so difficult.
Thank you for joining Pastors Chaz and Joni today from Houston Faith Church. If you're looking for a good home church in Houston, Texas, we'd like to invite you to be our guest anytime. What you'll find is the Houston Faith Church is highly committed to the Word of God, the love of God, and the Spirit-filled life and ministry that Jesus expects. We know that everyone wants to make a difference in this life, and that the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing for all of us. You'll find your purpose here and grow strong in faith at Houston Faith Church. Find more faith-building resources on our YouTube channel or subscribe to our free audio podcast. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. See you soon.